No problem. Justin's sound asleep, and I'll be zoning out from the rigors of the day with some television therapy, she said, laughing. Take your time. A short time later, Hannah turned her car into the courthouse parking lot. She noticed while almost all of the windows in the courthouse were dark, there was light shining from the windows in Judge Dickerson's chambers. That's odd. I know he often works late, but this is unusual, even for him, particularly given the events of the day. She unlocked the door to the eerily quiet courtroom and found the missing book on her desk, exactly where she'd last seen it. She picked it up and walked over to the door that led to the judge's chambers and lightly knocked on it. There was no answer.
Judge Dickerson, it's Hannah. Are you all right? She asked.
Again, there was no response. She knocked one more time, waited a moment, and then cautiously opened the door. Those who knew Hannah would say she was never at a loss for words. In fact, there had been times when people would gently tell her they had to end the conversation because they had something else to do. This was not one of those times. Hannah stood in shock, taking in the scene before her. The body of her boss, Judge Leo Dickerson, was slumped forward in his chair with his head lying on the flat surface of his computer desk. Blood was oozing from a small bullet hole in the back of his head. Incongruously, the thought came to her mind that a coward had shot him from the back. She knew she needed to call 911 and alert the authorities, but as she assessed the situation, she decided that the judge's computer needed to be turned off. If her boss had been indulging in one of his regular online pastimes, she was afraid the images on the screen might be distracting and interfere with the investigation that she knew was about to take place. Hannah's favorite genre for both television and books was murder mysteries, and instinctively, she reached into her purse and took out a tissue. With the tissue covering her hand, she switched off the computer and said a silent prayer for the judge's transition to heaven, although with his lifestyle, she wasn't sure that was exactly where he'd be going. Hannah had been raised in a strict Christian household, and she attended church every Sunday. Although she didn't like Judge Dickerson, her higher self felt that everyone should be prayed for at the time of their death, particularly in circumstances such as these. If anyone needed a prayer, it was him. She backed out of the room, quickly went to her desk, and dialed 911. She gave the person who answered her call a brief description of what she'd found and sat back to wait for the first responders. She heard the approaching sirens, and within minutes, police, paramedics, and firemen were in the courtroom. She stood next to the door to the judge's chambers and pointed the way, saying,
"He's inside. I'm sorry, but I can't go in there again."
A few moments later, one of the policemen, who seemed to be in charge, walked out of the judge's chamber and approached her.
"You must be Hannah Joseph. I'm Frank Moore, the chief of police. I'm sorry. I know this is a bad time for you, but would you tell me how you happened to find the judge?"
Hannah dabbed at her eyes, which had filled up with tears. Even though the judge was far, far down her list of favorite people, being the one who discovers that someone has been murdered is a deeply disturbing emotional experience.